Open your Bibles with me to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 2. And today we are going to conclude our series here on the Christmas story. And then when we return in January, we will have a couple of week series on prayer to start the year. That's going to be my practice, is to the first couple of weeks of the year to focus us in on prayer for the new year. And then we will be jumping back into the book of Philippians after that. So I encourage you to be here for that, and also to just plan on the first couple of weeks of the year to be spending some extra time in prayer. And I want to tell you this morning, before we dive into the text, of how much joy I have in serving as your pastor here at Richland Baptist Church. I want to say it is thrilling to me to look down here on the page and have to look through little flecks of water in my glasses from the baptistry. I can't find anything more joyful to do on Christmas than to experience God's work in the life of God's people. So praise God for that, and thank you for giving me this blessing, this Christmas blessing, of being able to serve you in this way. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Him. And all about His glory and His great name. So praise God for every single one of you. We are thrilled to be here. Would you stand with me this morning in honor of the reading of the words of our God? Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And we will read through verse 20, the Christmas story. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And then suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all of these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all of the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your word. Lord, your word is living and active. And Father, I pray that as we consider the Christmas story today, that you would continue to work in our hearts and lives, drawing us to yourself. Lord, we give you the praise and thanks for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. They tell me that one of the most sought after Christmas gifts this year is the Super Nintendo Entertainment System SNES Classic version. Yeah. Now that dates me a little bit because I remember when I first got my very own Super Nintendo SNES Classic System. It was Christmas of 1991. So that makes me classic, I guess. Christmas of 1991. I'll never forget it. I was in 10th grade, and I remember that is what I wanted on my Christmas list. I put that on my Christmas list. I did not put sweaters and socks on my Christmas list. I only put on there a Super Nintendo Entertainment System. And I remember as my parents were putting the presents under the tree, I remember I wasn't supposed to do this. Boys and girls, do not try this at home. Don't do this. I got in trouble for this. But I would actually, when my parents were gone, I would go under the tree and I would look at the packages and try to see, is this the right size box for what I am looking for this Christmas? And I would shake the package. I'm like, oh, sweater. And then, but I couldn't find it. And there was never the right size box under the tree. Well, Christmas Eve came and it was our tradition at our house to open up presents on with our grandparents, on my mom's parents on Christmas Eve. And I remember them coming in and we had supper and we sat down and passed all the gifts out. We passed the gifts out to me and then to my sister Amy and to my grandmama and granddaddy and everybody. And then my mom said, wait, before you open the presents, I have something to tell you. All of the presents, and she got out this list, all of the presents that have Amy's name on them belong to Travis. And all of the presents that have Travis's name on them belong to your sister, Amy. And then everybody else's was switched as well. And then finally I opened up the box, the package that had been there the whole time, but I didn't recognize it. It was my Super Nintendo Entertainment System. And it would have worked perfectly, it almost worked perfectly, except for that one package of strawberry shortcake underwear that I opened. Didn't get the right name on there. I guess somebody forgot at some point what we were doing. So what's the point? Well, the point of this is that at Christmas time, so many times, and certainly the testimony of Scripture, is that Christmas interrupts our lives and surprises us with joy. Now, my definition of joy has changed over the years and has deepened. Now, I look back and I see the experience that I got there might have been happiness or might have been delight, but I don't know that it was necessarily biblical joy that would endure in spite of the circumstances of life. But even so, in the Bible, we find that God gives us joy in some of the most unexpected places. Throughout this chapter, we see God setting it up that He does not choose the things of this world, the thing that this world says is great, but He chooses exactly the opposite things. If we look at this passage, we think that He might choose Caesar Augustus and Quirinius, the people in power. He might choose Rome, the city of power. He might choose people who have it all together, who have a lot of money, who have a lot of stuff. But we find that He chooses none of those things. And in fact, God chooses exactly the most unexpected places and the most unexpected people and the most unexpected events to bring about the salvation of the world and the joy of us who believe in Him as Savior and Lord. Think about it. God chose Bethlehem. God chose humility. God chose shepherds. God chose a manger. And that's the question, why did God choose those things? The reason why God chose those things is because He is demonstrating to us that salvation is a completely and totally free gift and not based upon any merit that we bring to the table. When God saves us, this gift that we have at Christmas, when God gives us that, it is due to nothing of our own good or own merit or own works. It's nothing that we have done, but the joy that we get at Christmas is that God has saved us all of Himself. It's not that we have done it, God did it for us. And that, my friends, is the enormous joy, the source of enormous joy that we have at Christmas time. There's three aspects of this Christmas joy that I want to encourage you with today. I want to answer the question, where can you find joy this Christmas? First of all, find Christmas joy in the sovereign humility of our great King. Find Christmas joy in the sovereign humility of our great King. What's incredible about the first few verses of this passage is it demonstrates the humility of our Savior and also the fact that our Savior is the great King over all in complete control of the universe. This passage begins with a Caesar Augustus, and another ruler named Quirinius. It's a very similar way to be that Luke began chapter 1 of his gospel, introducing us to a world leader. And we expect the story might be about this world leader, but we find that the story is not about Caesar Augustus at all. In fact, God passes over him. Now, who is this Caesar Augustus, this Augustus Caesar? You may know his name as well as Octavius. This guy's name, his original name before he was named and given the title Caesar Augustus, his name was Gaius Octavius, Octavian Caesar. He's the grandnephew of Julius Caesar. Before Julius Caesar was murdered, Julius Caesar adopted this young man Gaius as his adopted heir and appointed him to be king, to be Caesar, when it would be that Julius Caesar passed away. And we know Julius Caesar was murdered, and after Julius Caesar's assassination, we know that Gaius Octavius became king. But he wasn't king, he wasn't Caesar by himself, but there were two others that were also Caesar with him, that ruled with him in what is called the Second Triumvirate. Those two other rulers were Mark Antony and Lepidus. We know that eventually that Octavius Caesar overcame and overthrew Lepidus, and then Mark Antony joined forces with Cleopatra and then marched against Octavius, and Octavius also overthrew Mark Antony to become the only Caesar in the land. Now, why do I bring up all of these things? The reason why I bring up all of this background is two. One, because you can know that your Bible is rooted in historically accurate events. But secondly, I want you to know some of the titles that were given to Octavius after he had risen to power to be the only Caesar. It was declared when he was given this title of Augustus that you are August, you are Augustus Caesar, declared by the Roman Senate. You are Augustus Caesar, the highest power in the land, the holy Caesar, the only one. Not only that was he declared to be the holy one of the Roman Empire, but this Augustus Caesar was given the title Lord. And to rebel against the Roman Empire was to refuse to say, Caesar is Lord. So he was given the title Lord. And not only was he given the title Lord, but he was also given the title Savior. He is Savior. According to the Roman world, he had established this Roman peace across the Roman world. So this emperor who had established this Pax Romana was then declared by the Roman Empire to be Savior. There is a particular Roman inscription that has been found during that particular time by archaeologists, and it says this. It says, Providence has filled Augustus with divine power for the benefit of humanity, and in her beneficence has granted us and those who will come after us a Savior who has made war to cease and has put everything in peaceful order. So what's Luke's point here in pointing out Caesar Augustus? What he is doing in pointing out Caesar Augustus is he's saying, this is not the source of peace. This is not the Savior. This is not the Lord. This is not the King you should be longing for. God rejects all of that, and he gives us a Savior that he has been longing for. God defines who will save your soul, not humanity. And there's many of you who are trusting in man-made saviors, self-invented saviors, world-made saviors, trying to get them to serve as your source of meaning and source of life and source of salvation. And God says, that will never work for you. Trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. He is our Prince of Peace. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. He is our Sovereign King. The world says you can find joy in a human king. Christmas joy is found in a heavenly king. The world tries to find peace brought at the end of a sword. But Christmas peace is brought by the King, born in a manger, dying on the cross for our sins, rising again from the grave. The world tries to find joy in a political savior conquering through sin and death. But Christmas joy is about a King who has conquered sin and death itself, bringing us peace. The world tries to find joy in a man, Caesar, who was declared to be God. But Christmas joy is found in God becoming man and saving us from our sins. God rejects the unrighteous kings of this world, and He comes and He serves us by becoming the great King born in the most humblest of places. Not only do we see Caesar Augustus, but in verse 2, we're introduced to this other guy, Quirinius. We won't say a lot about Quirinius. We don't know a lot about him. But I will say this, reject the History Channel, Discovery Channel questioning of the historical reality of Quirinius. They are biased and they're only looking at one source, Josephus, who dates Quirinius at 6 to 7 or 8 AD, which would be out of Luke's time frame. But what they failed to tell you is that there are plenty of other inscriptions that show us that Quirinius was indeed governor over Syria more than once, twice. He was a military governor at the time of this census. And so once again, archaeology is showing that your Bible is reliable, and it is true not only about the rulers that it mentions here, but it is true more importantly about the way that you are to be saved. Jesus is the only Savior born on Christmas Day. Trust in Him and you will be saved. The Bible is the good news about God's sovereign control over the universe. You know, this reminds me of a song. As I have learned to say in days of late. What song does it remind me of? It reminds me of Joy to the World, a particular verse. And it says this, He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness and wonders of His love. This whole census that Caesar thought he was using for his own benefit and taxation, God was working through it the whole time to bring Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem so that the King of the world, the Savior, could be born. Secondly, this morning, find Christmas joy in the worship of our great King. Not only do we find Christmas joy knowing and being confident that God's in charge, that God's in control, but secondly, Christmas joy is found in the worship of our great King. Mary and Joseph, now under this edict of Caesar, traveling from Nazareth to Bethlehem, 80 miles, 80 miles all uphill, 80 miles on probably a donkey, 9 months pregnant. Can you imagine, ladies, 9 months pregnant, 5 days journey at least? Wow, she's one of my new heroes. And yours as well. They go there, they get to Bethlehem, and they start knocking, they start looking. My wife is about to give birth, we need a room, and there is no place, no room in the inn, no room at all. And so they're rejected by the innkeeper. We don't have any room, there's no more room. There's one place, though, if you want to go out to the stable, out back to the barn, out back, where all of these caravans are keeping their animals. Perhaps it was a cave, most people actually think it was a cave. So they go to this cave, the only room available. And God becomes man. Think about it. Jesus left the glories of heaven. What was He experiencing there? Endless choirs of angels. The incense of prayers of the saints gathering up to the throne of God above. Endless light and holiness and peace and joy and gladness in God. And He humbles Himself all the way to the sounds of cattle lowing, of sheep baying, of a woman crying out in birth pains. born in blood, sweat, and tears in that cold stable with nobody but the animals and Mary and Joseph to welcome the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The people in the inn missed it. They were sleeping that night and they missed it. And here's my worry, here's my concern, that while the people of Bethlehem were asleep, the greatest King came. I wonder, United States, I wonder, church, I wonder, Tri-Cities, are we in danger of being asleep when the King of Kings comes again? Brothers and sisters, let's stay awake and be ready for the coming of the King. At that moment, there were shepherds. No, well, nobody in that cave was worshiping God except just a few animals, maybe, and Mary and Joseph praising God for His work. There were a few shepherds out in the fields watching over their flocks by night, minding their own business. These rejects of society, these men who could not even go into the temple, were rejected, thought of as unclean. All of a sudden, God turns the lights on. And as those shepherds are watching perhaps these sheep that are there to eventually be sacrificed, God sets the sky on fire. And one of His mighty warriors, these angelic beings, appears in the night sky. And what does this angel have to say? This angel, first words out of this angel's mouth are what? Fear not. Think about that. That's exactly the opposite thing of what a Roman soldier was meant to communicate and what a Roman soldier would say. A Roman soldier was, you better be afraid. We're ruling this place with fear. And what does our King's soldiers say to us? You don't need to fear anymore. Why? It's because unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Notice that this one is a Savior. He is the Christ. He is the one born from the line of David. And He is the Lord. All of the exact things that Caesar was declared to be, the angel says, no, He's not that. This child is all of that and more. At that moment, as the shepherds were listening, perhaps Gabriel is not, he's not named in the Bible, we don't really know, but as the shepherds are listening, with that one angel appears a multitude of angels. Don't think 10. Don't think 100. That word multitude means thousands upon thousands upon thousands. This is a heavenly garrison, the armies of the Almighty God. And there they are. They become a heavenly choir. Thousands and thousands of blazing lights lighting up the universe, declaring glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Caesar had his own choirs that would march around behind him and would sing and declare his greatness. But now we have the real heavenly powerful choir singing the greatest praise, highest praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the shepherds go to that manger and worship the true King of Kings. I ask you today, are you finding joy in worshiping the true King? You know, here's the problem with so many of us. It's this, listen. God's good gifts make lousy gods. God's good gifts make really lousy gods. Because they don't offer us peace. The things that we give our lives to, the things that we desire, the things that we long for, they don't offer us peace. There's only one place where you can find real peace, and that's in the Prince of Peace, Christ Jesus. This reminds me of another verse of a song. In fact, the same song I mentioned earlier. This section about the shepherds worshiping reminds me of these words, joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. And here's my Christmas challenge for you. Let 2018, as we end 17 and look into 18, my prayer for you is that joy in God, joy in Jesus is repeated, repeated, repeated in your heart and in your life as you worship the King of Kings throughout the year to come. Find joy in worshiping Jesus. Finally this morning, find Christmas joy in sharing the good news of our great King. There in verses 17 and 18, we find after the shepherds had been to see the baby, what do they do? How do they respond? They confirm it all. They confirm everything that has been exactly the way they had been told by the angels. But in verse 17 and 18, we see that the shepherds then make widely known this saying that was told to them by the angels concerning this child. Listen close. Receipt of the message is tested by obedience to the message. Receipt of the message is tested by obedience to the message. And in fact, you haven't really received the gospel, you haven't received the message, you haven't received Jesus until you have responded in obedience to Jesus. That is what it means to follow Christ. And so the shepherds, they see Christ, they see everything is true, and their first response is to organize and become the very first faith team. They leave the manger and they go and they tell everybody what God has done, what they have seen God do. And there's a very important principle about joy here. And it explains why so many of us live such joyless lives. The principle is this. You will never experience true joy in your faith until you share that joy with somebody else. And we all know this to be true. We don't have to build this up in our lives. What do I mean by that? Here's what I mean. A couple of weeks ago, Moon sent me a text. And in this text, she had taken a picture of a sunrise. And she sent this to me, and several of y'all also received this text. And in this particular text, she wrote, "Wow, this is a beautiful sunrise. You have to go outside and look to the east and see this beautiful sight this morning." Now, my question is why did she do that? Why did she take a picture of it and have to share it with everybody else? Why didn't she just enjoy that? Here's why. Here's why. And you do this too. The reason why she did that is because her joy in the experience would not have been complete without sharing it with somebody else. The joy in any experience in your life, watch it tonight, watch it when you're open, watch it tomorrow morning. When you open Christmas presents and somebody gets their Super Nintendo Classic, or whatever it is they've been longing for, that gift you've been waiting to give, when somebody opens that up, watch their faces. They will delight and light up, and they won't just haul it off to the room. They will show it to somebody else. They'll hold it up and they'll show it. You don't have to teach children this. Joy is not complete until you've shared it with somebody else. And that is true of the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We get joy, maximum joy in Jesus when we take this gospel and share it with somebody else. That also reminds me of a song. Verse 1. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. And this is talking to the world. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. Isn't that what we're about as a church? Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. What is the world like? Political corruption, complaining about taxes, factions and fighting, government-sanctioned baby killing, refugees fleeing persecution. Am I talking about 2017? No, actually. I was just describing the world into which Jesus was born. And brothers and sisters, The answer in the first century is the same as the answer today. A world like that needs a Savior. And our world as well desperately needs a Savior. You may be here and never trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And my invitation for you today is receive this gift of Christmas. Christ loves you. He came. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross for your sins. You've seen it testified over and over and over again here in the baptistry. He offers you this gift today of eternal life, forgiveness of sin, forever place in heaven. Would you receive it? Would you know the joy of knowing Christ this Christmas? Others of you may need to join the church, become a part of this church. Maybe you need to come forward and declare to everybody, I want to take my first steps of being united with this church. Why don't you come? Or whatever decision you need to make today, you make it as we sing together and we respond. Why don't you stand? I'm going to pray and we're going to sing together. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. Lord, your word is powerful. Your word speaks to our lives. And your word is so incredibly relevant to today. And Lord, I pray for us all. Help us this season to trust in our sovereign King who humbled himself and gave yourself for us. Lord, help us to respond to you in worship. Lord, I pray that our next year would be all about worshiping our great King. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to experience joy as we share Jesus with the people around us who so desperately need it. Lord, work during this time of response, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.